Well, thank you very much for inviting me to be here, and thanks to everyone for staying till the end. I'm the director of ICPSR. We are a data archive for the social sciences. We celebrated our 50th anniversary last year, and we're now up to more than 700 member institutions worldwide. We acquire data from the social sciences, curate it, distribute it, preserve it, and train people in how to use it. And we also provide archiving services for a number of different agencies in NIH, the Department of Justice, the Substance and Mental Health Services Administration, and about 20 sponsors overall. So what I wanted to talk about today is data discovery, and in particular, some recent experiences we have with changing the way our data discovery system works. Now, first you have to understand the problem that we face. Social science data tends to, in comparison to many other scientific disciplines, tends to be wide and shallow rather than thin and deep. So we have a data set in our archive, typically has at least 400 variables. Some of them have thousands of variables, but the number of cases is usually not very large. It might be only several hundred or several thousand. And the result is that we get, our documentation can be quite extensive. So here you have a recent release of data that we did, where the code book runs to 400 pages and describes more than 800 variables. And this is only one of what will probably be more than 30 code books in this one data collection. So in 1995, ICPSR was one of the founders of the Data Documentation Initiative, which is an XML markup standard for documenting social science data. And by being in XML, it is both machine actionable and human readable. So we use DDI for in a number of ways. First of all, for preservation, because XML being human readable, it's easier to preserve. Secondly, we have now moved to the point where our code books are created from the DDI rather than the other way around. And we now have a large enough collection of DDI that we actually use it for our data discovery. So in last September, we released a new website with a new search. And it has two kinds of searching built in. One is a study-level search, and the second is a variable-level search. So our new website has only a single search box. It has facets. And it searches over all of the DDI metadata for every study in the collection. Now, when you search over a lot of metadata, it raises another problem, that any search can bring up a lot of results. And we've been very much concerned about that, concerned about the problem that people will do searches and the answer's there, but they can't find it. So I think this was two summers ago, we actually did some tests with users where we gave users scenarios. And one of the scenarios we gave them was find a data set that will answer this question. Do children of Asian immigrants speak English in the home more often than children of Latino immigrants? And we knew we had the answer because we knew this was a question given by one of my colleagues who knew that this data set would answer the question. And what we found was that most of the people we gave to test actually didn't find the data set that we expected them to find. And you can see why. If you type in the various keywords in the question, you get different results. So if you type in these four keywords, the study that is the best answer, in our opinion, comes out 10th, which is actually not too bad. At least it's on the first page. Interestingly, if you say speak English and put quotes around that, it comes out a little bit higher. But we discovered that if you just type in the question itself, it comes out number one. And this was a major insight for us. In fact, one of our web team gave a webinar to our members, and the title was, "It's Not Your Mother's Search Anymore," trying to get them to think about searching in a new way. And we've discovered this in other contexts as well. So if you type in, "Does childcare quality affect child development?" you actually get a first result that's about childcare quality and outcomes. And if you type in, "Do children inherit their parents' political beliefs?" you get data sets that speak to that directly. But many researchers, myself included, when I think about doing a search, what I actually think about is the variables. And what I want to get is a data set that has all the variables that I need. So we introduced this additional search page, which searches at the variable level specifically. And it now searches over about 4,000 studies, which have 2.1 million variables. And what it allows you to do is to put in a search, and it brings up variables, and it gives you a list of variables from various surveys. You can also click in checkboxes for those variables, and then click the compare button, and you get a new display that compares these variables across these studies, which we think is going to be very useful for people trying to do meta-analysis. But when I demonstrated this last summer at a meeting at the Spencer Foundation, people said immediately, "Well, that's great for one variable, but I want to be able to search on three." So we've now done that. This search is in beta testing now, but we've added into the search box that if you separate items by commas, it assumes that you're looking for separate variables, and then it shows you for each study in columns the different variables you were looking for. And again, you can click the boxes and compare those variables side by side. And this tool now will compare side by side variables from multiple studies or from multiple variables in the same study. So we're trying to be flexible to the way that our users study work. We also have a project funded by NSF where we're working on either fuller elaborations of this. We're working with the American National Election Studies and the General Social Survey to develop new ways to use metadata, including we are now upgrading the legacy metadata on these two studies. The National Election Studies actually go back to 1948. I believe that GSS goes back to 1972. We have a lot of legacy studies to recover. We're developing a federated search. We're looking at making codebooks dynamic so that users can pick out what they want to be in the codebook. The creation of question banks, harmonization tools, and we're also looking at the workflows in these surveys to find ways that we can make it easier for them to capture good metadata. And our partners are GSS, ANES, and NORC and Metadata Technologies. So we've learned some interesting lessons. Rich metadata creates all sorts of opportunities for creating new kinds of searches and new powerful search tools. And the problem becomes not missing the study you're looking for, but getting, because you didn't hit it, the problem becomes bringing up too many results so that you can't find it in the haystack. The haystack actually gets bigger. And we've learned a lot of things about that. We've learned things especially about weighting the elements in the search. Earlier on, we had the weights too high on the footnotes, and things were coming up from footnotes too high in the search. But the biggest thing we've learned is that we're going to have to teach our users new ways to search, because these new tools require different behaviors from our researchers, and we are now in the process of putting different kinds of instructions on our search pages to help them find their way to the objects that they want to find. Thank you.